Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. To the disappointment of many, there was no YouTube or Rumble video last week, just the radio program. Thursday is my YouTube recording day, and the Thanksgiving festivities kind of torpedoed my schedule. If you don't find a YouTube post-it, you can always go to the website godandcountryradio.org and there catch the 25-minute radio program. That has to happen every week, otherwise the radio stations are not very happy. You know, one of my goals is to put out a weekly video, but since God and Country is not my only job, sometimes, you know, it's impossible to get it done. I would say it takes about 15 hours to research, to write, to record, to edit, and to upload and to do all of the emails for just one 40-minute video. I mean, life would be a whole lot easier if I just nixed the YouTubes. You know, I don't get paid to do this. But this is something that God has laid upon my heart. And I believe God's people need encouragement and discernment as we go into these last days. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether then you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So speaking of discernment, today's program is about the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Why do they hate Kyle Rittenhouse? Yes, this story is already out of the news, but it should never be forgotten because this story is a watershed moment in American history. It's a clear sign of America's current depravity and what's about to befall this nation. And the big story wasn't about what Kyle Rittenhouse did in defending himself from these violent attackers. The big story is America's divided reaction to the case. The case of Rittenhouse self-defense. On the left, there is an intense hatred for Rittenhouse. And on the right, there is intense support for Rittenhouse. Because for the left, if Rittenhouse lost, that would send a welcome signal that the public should never again dare to stand in the way of leftist thugs. And for the right, if Rittenhouse lost, it would mean open season on law-abiding citizens who want to protect their life and property. How one views Kyle Rittenhouse, either as a criminal or a hero, is based upon one's worldview, one's view of man, of God, of sin, and salvation. And therefore, it's no surprise that the left hates Rittenhouse and the right loves Rittenhouse. And that is a God-ordained teachable moment. Through Rittenhouse, the hearts of many are revealed. Does that sound familiar? The prophetic word of Simeon concerning the infant Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." What someone thought of Jesus is all one needed to know the disposition of someone's heart, whether one was on God's side or Satan's side. When the Messiah arrived, one's reaction to him was a sign or indicator of one's heart. The arrival of the Messiah revealed what was otherwise the unseen, hidden disposition of the soul, the attitude. And as a Messiah, so also his people. When one thought of the Apostle Paul, whether he was a man of God or an enemy of the people, exposed one's spiritual condition, saved or lost. When one thought of Abel, or Noah, or Abraham, or any of the prophets, revealed which side someone was on. As the Messiah, so also his people. Luke chapter 10, verse 16, "The one who listens to you listens to me, And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. And Matthew 20, chapter 10, verse 25. It's enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the household Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Now, I'm not saying that Kyle Rittenhouse is Jesus, but God's people will represent God's justice in this world. And so we get God's mail. And when God's justice happens, it pushes people's buttons. And what comes out reveals the heart. You can tell a man by his friends and his enemies. What we learned last week in the Rittenhouse case is that there's a large number of people in America, maybe even a majority, certainly a majority in the media and in the universities and in government, that operate on an ungodly understanding of justice, who covertly hate righteousness and love wickedness. The opposite of Psalm 45 about Jesus and his people, Psalm 45, 7, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil, the oil of joy above your fellows. But the world hates righteousness and loves wickedness. But before we look into the evil behind this hatred of Rittenhouse, let's review what happened. Rittenhouse, as a 17-year-old student, high school student, saw his community being looted and burned and decided to come to the aid of those who were being hurt. In any other generation, Rittenhouse would be a model of virtue, defending the innocent against the violent mob. But the media and the politicians support the mob because they get a political advantage through the violent mob, through Antifa. So Rittenhouse and John Q. Public, standing up to the rioters, are the enemy. Rittenhouse spent the day with a friend cleaning graffiti off of buildings from the rioters. Why did these rioters graffiti buildings? Well, because they believed they had a moral right to destroy people's property because these rioters considered themselves victims and the people on the main street, the oppressors. This is where critical race theory leads. Every criminal finds a false moral justification for his crimes. Every criminal thinks he's the righteous one in the story, that he has a right to do these things. So that day, Rittenhouse asked a car dealership if they needed any help watching the business. The owner accepted Kyle's offer to help protect the dealership against arson. The night before, another dealership was burned to the ground, and the police did nothing. The politicians told the police to stand down. They were nowhere to be seen that night when Kyle Rittenhouse was assaulted. They were hunkered down behind a barricade outside the protest area. The people themselves were left to defend their own property. And so it took a 17-year-old to do what the police in Kenosha should have been doing and what all of the men in Kenosha should have been doing. But they were too afraid. Not only afraid of physical harm, but of the ideology and the censorship of the left. It kind of reminds me of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. When it was harvest time, the Midianites would go through the villages and take all the produce. At that time, these Midianites were more akin to roaming gangs, not like an organized nation. It was kind of like Mad Max in 1200 BC. And no one was willing to stand up to them except Gideon. Gideon inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites." And when Gideon tore down the altar of Baal, the Jews in the city wanted to kill Gideon because the destruction of the altar of Baal was an affront to the ideology of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And consequently, the destruction of the altar stirred up the Midianites and the Amalekites to attack Israel. Most of the Jews, out of fear, didn't want to do anything to upset the terrorists, because the terrorists were controlling people by this fear of reprisal. Does this sound familiar? Well, it's happening in our day. This fear of leftist thugs. And again, many politicians will do nothing because they're afraid of the voices on the far left, and they find it politically advantageous to have the support of these terrorists. They're very useful in silencing conservatives. As in the words of Ann Coulter, Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial so that no one will dare stand in the way of the left's shock troopers ever again. So Kyle Rittenhouse is there to protect his community. That night he was rendering medical help to both sides, mostly to the protesters. He was not a white supremacist. Race had nothing to do with this. He never crossed state lines with a gun illegally. The gun charge, which should never have been brought, was dropped. He was not part of a militia. He was a member of the Kenosha community, and the protesters in Kenosha were not peaceful. They were carrying guns. They were burning and vandalizing businesses. So what would you do in such a case? If you don't have the police frame protection, at a certain point, you have to defend your own community, your own family, your own home and business. Now, the only error that Kyle made, if he made any error at all, was not realizing what he was up against. His expectations were misguided, but who understands any of these things when you're 17 years old? If you're protecting a business from arson or looting, and the thugs are hell-bent on burning the place to the ground, the only way you're going to be able to stop them is to shoot them. Otherwise, they're just going to punch you out, take your gun, and burn the place. With a violent mob, you can't enforce anything unless you start shooting people. That is, if the police will not come to your aid. I used to work as a security officer, security guard in New York City, and basically, my only recourse was to call the police for help. I was only there to be a deterrent because I had a phone. The thieves knew that I wasn't about to shoot them if they were stealing stuff, but they feared the police. Kyle Rittenhouse had the expectation that the police would come once he reported a crime, that he would be an extra set of eyes and ears for the police. He didn't imagine that the police would do nothing. So Kyle's error really wasn't his error. It was the error of law enforcement, failing to meet basic public expectations. And Kyle didn't realize America had changed. The spirit of the age is that citizens are now supposed to let leftist lunatics destroy their town. Well, that night, while Rittenhouse was standing on the corner of the car lot offering people help, Joseph Rosenbaum threatened to kill Kyle and his friend. He came up to Rittenhouse and said, "If I catch any of you MFers alone, I'm going to effing kill you." And a little while later, he came back and said to Rittenhouse, so that everybody could hear, "I'm going to effing kill you and I'm going to cut your heart out." And he was shouting the N-word repeatedly. You didn't hear that in the media, did you? A little while later, Rosenbaum grabbed Kyle's gun, trying to wrestle it from him. Kyle, in self-defense, pulled the trigger. Rittenhouse was about to give Rosenbaum some first aid, but people started coming at him, threatening to kill him. So Rittenhouse started running toward where he knew the police were barricaded. While Rittenhouse was running, Gage Grosskreutz asked Rittenhouse, "Did you just shoot that man?" And Rittenhouse explained the situation and said he was going to report it to the police. So Grosskreutz knew Rittenhouse was not an active shooter. Now, in the chase, Anthony Huber struck Rittenhouse in the head with a skateboard. It's well known that Antifa members will carry to protest skateboards as a weapon for deniability. Huber also attempted to take Rittenhouse's rifle. Rittenhouse pulled the trigger on Huber. Gage Grosskreutz showed up again and raised a handgun at Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse fired and wounded Grosskreutz in the arm. Kyle made it to the police line, told them that he had to shoot someone. The police told him to stay away and go home. At each point, according to the law, Rittenhouse was practicing self-defense. You're not allowed to beat someone over the head with a skateboard or point a gun at someone or try to wrestle someone's gun away. Yeah, we might not like the violence. We might think it'd be nice to live in a world where evil can be stopped by mere talk, but that's not the real world. Very often you have to defend yourself and your property, otherwise evil takes over. Our founding fathers, realizing the nature of evil, gave us the Second Amendment. Now, according to Kyle's interview with Tucker Carlson, which I highly recommend that you watch, Rosenbaum's threats surprised Kyle. Kyle said, "Why would anyone want to kill me? I was offering medical help to people on both sides. What just happened? Nobody ever threatened to kill me before." So young Kyle didn't understand evil. Even as, you know, 90% of Americans don't understand evil or the nature of evil people. What the Bible calls the workers of iniquity. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11. They say, "Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16. "For their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood." Psalm chapter 10, verse 7. "His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. He sits in the lurking places of the village. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. He crouches, he bows down, and the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones." Psalm 94:21, "They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death." Isaiah 59:6, "Their works are works of iniquity, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways." Again, Rosenbaum to Rittenhouse, "If I catch you MFers alone, I'm going to effing kill you." The Bible also describes these men as violent men. Psalm 17:4, "The paths of the violent." Psalm 18:48, "Rescue me from violent men." Psalm 37:35, "I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil." Psalm 54:3, "For strangers have risen against me, and violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them." Psalm 86:14, "O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them." Psalm 140, verse 1, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men." Psalm 140, verse 4, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet." All three men that attacked Kyle Rittenhouse that night and that Rittenhouse had to shoot in order to defend himself had rap sheets of violent crimes in their past. Joseph Rosenbaum was out on bond for domestic battery. That very day, he had been released from a mental institution. He was a convicted felon for anally and orally raping five boys, ranging from 9 to 11 years old. You didn't hear about that in the news, did you? Anthony Huber, who swung the skateboard at the head of Rittenhouse, was also a convicted felon for two separate instances of domestic violence. And Gage Grosskreutz, who Kyle shot in the arm after Grosskreutz pointed the gun at him, was a career criminal with a police record for domestic abuse, prowling, trespassing, two DUIs, felony burglary, and two charges of carrying firearms while intoxicated from the New York Post. In 2013, he was charged with smashing the bedroom window of an ex-girlfriend's house at 4 a.m., with the woman claiming he had been harassing her on the phone. 1 year earlier, he was charged with felony theft in New Berlin when cops said he was caught trying to sell three stolen PlayStation consoles. In 2010, Grosskreutz was arrested and charged with hitting his grandmother in the head with a lamp during a dispute. On May 9th of 2015, Grosskreutz was stopped by police in Greenfield, about 40 miles from Kenosha, driving intoxicated, and the officers recovered a 9mm Glock from his vehicle. On August of 2020, just days before the Rittenhouse shooting, he was arrested by police for prowling. He was videotaping the personal vehicles of police around 1 a.m. to target police. According to a police report, Gage made clear his anti-law enforcement views. So these are the heroes on the left. By the way, the jury was not allowed to hear about the criminal background of these attackers. The prosecution painted the picture that these were just peaceful protesters. But Kyle Rittenhouse's TikTok quotes in the past were allowed in court to besmirch Kyle Rittenhouse's character. So Kyle said he didn't understand why anyone wanted to kill him. Well, why were those men there that night? The very reason for the riots in Kenosha was that these people hated justice and hated the police. They hated the system. It was criminals, gang members, thugs who hated the police and the law. And they showed up in mass because it was open season in the community and the system and the police. The pretext for the riots was the shooting of Jacob Blakes. Blakes defiantly walks right past the police. The police have their guns drawn and they tell him to stop, that he's under arrest. But he keeps on walking to his car, opens the door, sits down in his car and pulls out a knife. A police officer shoots him, doesn't kill him, but he's paralyzed. So this is the reason for all of the looting and the arson. These rioters were lawless people. These are people who hate the law. They hate authority out of jealousy, out of bitterness. They love to destroy what other people have. This is Jude, verse 8. They reject authority. Verse 10, but these men revile the things which they do not understand, the things which they know by instinct, like unreasonable animals, by these things they're destroyed. This was not a political protest. This was the lawlessness of these men coming to the surface. Their hatred for society and their hatred for others. You know, they were like the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, who when they saw the opportunity to kill, steal, and destroy Job's stuff, they took it. And they delighted in the power it gave them. And these protesters were Antifa. And they knew they could get away with it because, again, these politicians had given them free rein. As if they were merely aggrieved over the racism in this country. You know, they hated others and they used racism as a pretext. And the politicians being evil themselves are deluded by evil. The protesters were actually the unlawful vigilantes in the story. They were taking justice into their own hands according to their own definition of justice. They believed they had the right to punish the community for allegedly oppressing them. Rittenhouse, self-defense and protection of property was not vigilantism. The irony is that the true vigilantes were the protesters, not Rittenhouse. But the left accused Rittenhouse of doing the very thing that they were doing. And they called him a vigilante with a straight face. This is Isaiah chapter 5. They call good evil and evil good. When Rosenbaum saw Rittenhouse, Rosenbaum cursed him and threatened to kill him because Rittenhouse represented the law and the authority that Rosenbaum wanted to pull down. How dare you keep us from doing what we want to do? If we want to destroy, we should be able to do it. And really, those on the political left have the same spirit. So they support these rioters. These people hate God and his law, but since they can't get at God, they go after those who represent God and the law. Psalm 25:19. Look upon my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with a violent hatred. Psalm 83:2. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. Psalm 34:21. Evil slays the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. Psalm 11:5. They love violence. And a most famous text, one you should have memorized, is Amos 5:11. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks with integrity. They hate the law. They are like the communist Bolsheviks and the Nazi brown shirts. They use violence to intimidate their enemies and to get their way. And they hate all the Christian laws in the land because it thwarts their freedom to do evil. It thwarts their lawlessness. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. They don't love the way of the Lord. Proverbs 21:15. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is a terror to the workers of iniquity. They hate the exercise of justice, so they want to stamp it out. They want to defund the police, and they hate people like Rittenhouse. So let's not be naive. Let's understand the way of the wicked. Notice the hatred that Jesus said would come from the world. John 15:19. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, because of this, the world hates you. And even though Jesus has warned us here, when we start to see that hatred, we're still surprised. What did the owners of the vineyard do when the son of the owner showed up and demanded accountability? Luke 20:14. But when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." And I'm sure someone would have said to Jesus, "Well, is it really that bad? Would they really want to kill the owner's son? It's that bad." And these people have feet that are swift to shed blood, the blood of anyone who gets in their way. What did Israel do with the prophets who are the prosecutors of the law of Moses? 2 Chronicles 36:16, but they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. King David, in his final words, warns his posterity about the wicked in this world, and David had firsthand experience in dealing with wicked people. Check out this text, 2 Samuel 23:6. But the worthless, every one of them, will be thrust away like thorns because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear. In other words, beware. You cannot touch these people even with a 10-foot pole. You have to be armed when you deal with them. In the words of Jesus in Luke 22, whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and to get one. Now, the naive in this world, those who don't believe in their own evil, also don't believe in the evil of others. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse would learn the nature of evil, the nature of evil, rebellious men. The real problem here is that all of these attackers, and most if not all of the rioters, were unsaved men without hope, without God in this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, I just finished reading the testimony of Sharon Dutra with Be Transformed Ministries. She writes about her violent, drug-filled life before she was saved, quote, "With each getaway, my self-hatred escalated, along with contempt for authority figures and a mistrust of people in general. I was heading down a path of destruction," unquote. And many Americans are being swept away into sin and false ideology out of hatred and pride, and they're on the way to destruction, and it's quite sad. We need to reach these people for Christ, if possible. Now, at this point, I want to answer some of the opposition arguments coming from critics. I'm sure that even some students in Christian colleges would begin to agree with the media and say, hey, listen, these three guys, they thought they were just stopping an active shooter. I mean, that's the spin that the prosecutor put on the case, that Rittenhouse was an active shooter like the Sandy Hook shooter, that it was actually the rioters who were trying to protect the community. And the spin is really amazing. We shouldn't be dissuaded by it. Evil will always profess to be the good person in the story, and the naive will always believe the claim. But even if those men thought they were doing good, and evil men always think they're doing good, those men were responsible for their worldview and the conclusions they came to because of their worldview. They already had in their minds that anyone protecting the community was an enemy. That's why Rosenbaum came up to Rittenhouse and said, I'm going to effing kill you. You and I are responsible for who we think or assume the enemy is. Fighting the enemy is not righteousness if we have made the good the enemy. Choosing the wrong enemy, and you don't have courage, you have arrogance. What if a communist Bolshevik or a Nazi brown shirt assaulted someone and that person shot back in self-defense? Whether you are on the side of the citizen who is defending himself or the protesting Nazi brown shirt depends on your ideology. Unprincipled people will decide the rightness or wrongness of an action only after they discover what political party was involved. What I'm saying, and I know I have the backing of scripture on this, is that these rioters had the wrong ideology. They were the evil ones, and that resulted in evil action. These rioters did not want Romans chapter 13, where police are the avengers who bring wrath on the ones who practice evil. They wanted law enforcement to be the avengers on those who practice righteousness. And that's why Gage Grossgrutz was tracking the private residences and cars of the police. He hated these ministers of God. Well, given the satanic ideology that sweep in America, if history was different and Gage Grosskreutz was able to get off a round and kill Rittenhouse before Rittenhouse fired, Grosskreutz would have been hailed a hero. He would have been supported by the left and the media, and I doubt he would have been charged with a crime. The big story here, again, is not the case, but that so many Americans in places of leadership hate Rittenhouse and see him as the criminal. They were backing the prosecution. They were actually glad for these protesters intimidating the police and intimidating traditional American thinking. They want a communist revolution. They want to indict America. And that is a scary thing. It shows how morally obtuse and apostate our country has become. And remember, these are also the people who think it's morally acceptable to kill a baby in the womb and to practice homosexuality. So it's no surprise that they have outrage over the Kyle Rittenhouse case. There is an immoral intersectionality in America. From Gateway Pundit, list of colleges and university offering therapy for students affected by, quote, racist Rittenhouse verdict. Tuesday, TikTok shared a list of reactions by administrators at colleges, universities, and even high schools across America to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. And all of these many university leaders saw Rittenhouse as a criminal. The NBA, a sports organization, felt it necessary to speak out against the Rittenhouse acquittal. Quote, any form of vigilantism in our society is unacceptable. The ACLU, which is supposed to be all about civil liberties, opposed Rittenhouse because of their leftist ideology. The funding site GoFundMe would not allow anyone to raise money for the Rittenhouse defense. A Virginia police officer was fired after it was discovered he donated to the Rittenhouse defense. And the excuse for firing this police officer is that he was undermining public trust in the police. So you have to go along with a certain political position to keep your job. Even the U.S. Department of Transportation had to make a comment about the Rittenhouse case. Mayor Pete, now the head of the Department of Transportation, said there's a lot to be upset about in the not guilty verdict. So an official working for the government supporting the protesters is not eroding public trust by holding a leftist position and opposing Rittenhouse. But if you support Rittenhouse, you're fired from public office. What a double standard. Any comments about Rittenhouse's innocence on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter led to an immediate suspension. Hollywood actors spoke out against Rittenhouse. Variety magazine called the verdict a terrifying day in America. In interviews, Rittenhouse said he was going to be attending the University of Arizona. Well, of course, the communist social groups on campus banded together to protest Rittenhouse attending the university. Students for Socialism, Students for Justice in Palestine, and the Multicultural Solidarity Coalition are rallying and protesting Rittenhouse's attending the university. They made three demands. Quote, even with a not guilty verdict from a flawed justice system, Kyle Rittenhouse is still guilty to his victims and the families of those victims. Join us to demand from ASU that these demands be met and to protect students from a violent, bloodthirsty murderer. Number one, withdrawal of Rittenhouse from ASU. Number two, release a statement against white supremacy and the racist murderer, Kyle Rittenhouse, even though the case had nothing to do with racism. Number three, reaffirm support for the multicultural center on campus as a safe space from white supremacy. So these students have totally bought into the CRT theology as the correct worldview and crusade. Number four, redirect funds from ASU's police department to support the multicultural center. It's always about getting money, isn't it? And establish a care center on campus, which is a leftist indoctrination counseling center. After Rittenhouse was acquitted, even the New Jersey Education Association felt it necessary to put out a statement condemning Rittenhouse. Quote, today we share the dismay of all those who see the brokenness of our justice system. Today we share the fear and frustration of all those who are reliving the trauma of previous miscarriages of justice. Today we share the anger of those who know that our communities are less safe because this verdict sent a harmful message that vigilante violence is a reasonable response to constitutionally protected protest. Our thoughts and deepest sympathy go out to the families, friends, and loved ones of Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber, as well as Gage Grossgruetz, who were victimized again by the failure of our legal system to deliver justice and accountability for the violence perpetrated against them, unquote, the New Jersey Education Association. And that's what they're teaching our children. This is certainly the calling of good evil, and evil good. So many people in America are against Rittenhouse. Is truth determined by the majority opinion? Or the more vocal opinion? No, especially when our nation has abandoned God and Christian truth. Why is all this happening? Well, because of Psalm 50. For the wicked, you hate discipline. You cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him. On social media, this post was circulated. I want to live in a country where Colin Kaepernick is seen as the hero and Kyle Rittenhouse is seen as a terrorist. That's where our world is heading. A great outbreak of lawlessness and lawless ideology before the coming of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be brutal, haters of the good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. There is an eschatological dimension to the Rittenhouse case, because in the last days, man's rebellion against God and God's law will come to a climax, and there will be a massive number of people who hate Christian law, Christian moral law, Christian social law, Christian economic law. And this lawlessness will not just be coming from the base elements of society, it will be coming from the social leaders. The inmates will run the institution. And the end of this age is called the days of lawlessness, controlled by the Antichrist, who is called the man of lawlessness. And Jesus foretold that at the end of this age, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. From where I sit and from what I know, I tend to believe that the apocalypse will come in our lifetime. We will see the rise of the Antichrist, at the very least, civil war, and the dissolving of our country. Because without the Christian base, without Christian truth, there can be no unity. Today is the day in which you need to choose sides. Christ and his truth is appointed for the fall and rise of many in America and for a sign to be opposed. And because of Christ and his truth, many hearts will be revealed. Thanks for listening today. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.